Welcome to the Great Loop Radio Podcast, brought to you by America's Great Loop Cruisers Association. We're dedicated to sharing Great Loop information and inspiration with those actively cruising, planning for, or dreaming about a Great Loop adventure. I'm Kim Russo. I'm the director of AGLCA. Today, we're continuing our Story of Our Loop series, and we have some of our Gold Loopers here. Bill and Molly Webster are going to be sharing the story of their Great Loop, and we'll bring them in just a second. Before we do, as always, we want to take a moment to recognize and thank our Admiral sponsors who support AGLCA at the highest level. They are Curtis Stokes & Associates, Great Loop Yacht Sales, Passage Maker Trawler Fest, and Waterway Guide Media. As always, we encourage our listeners and our viewers to support these businesses that support the Great Loop. So I'd like to officially now introduce you to Bill and Molly Webster. Bill and Molly, thanks for joining me again.
Thank you, Kim.
Great to be here with you, Kim.
Great to have you here, too. And I know you've done some webinars out for us, so obviously familiar faces to many of our loopers. But this is a little bit different because this is going to be all about the story of your loop. So let's start off. Tell us what interested you about the Great Loop. What made you decide to take off and do it?
Well, I think we didn't really know what the Great Loop was. We just heard little snippets about it. And you had one of the Looper Lifestyle seminars, it was over a weekend in Connecticut back in 2015. And that's certainly what got me booked. And Molly, at least, was said she'd go along for the ride.
So Molly may have been a little reluctant there. Am I sensing that?
I don't know if I was reluctant. I think I was excited. But Bill's kind of a boat addict, so...
Gotcha.
And so we were not going to retire until July of 2019. And both of us worked out a deal with our work where we could take 3 months off. And so in October of 2016, so about a year later, we went down the East Coast and over to the Bahamas. And then came back. So we did that part of the loop early on. And then when we both retired, a week after retirement, we were on the boat headed south for Maine again, only this time we turned north up the Hudson River in New York City.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about the boat. Tell us what you looped aboard.
I just want to start by saying we live on the ocean. And we've always had a boat, from a big sailboat to a little Boston Whaler. Mm-hmm. And what year was it, Bill, that our Boston Whaler broke loose from its mooring, crashed into the rocks?
That was August.
Just right outside our house.
Of 2015, just okay. A few months before
so
the seminar.
We got really good insurance on that boat. And Bill decided, I think at that point, We been to the seminar?
No.
But he decided he wanted to do a totally different kind of boating. So that's when he started researching boats that we could live on.
So we were, and we've taken a different tack than probably the typical looper. We wanted a boat that was big enough to live on, but small enough to trail. Because we wanted a boat that was going to last more than just the loop. And we ended up with a small trawler called the Rossboro RF246. And the Rossboro, and there are probably another four or five makes out there that are both trailable and livable. And so between our two experiences that led to the completion of the loop, we lived on the boat for almost a year.
Yeah, and it's interesting that you said that because a lot of... I think there's this perception that loopers buy a boat for the loop and then they sell it. And while for many people that is true, it's not always that they sell it because they're getting out of boating. It's because they sell it because unless you're actively looping, you don't often need a boat of the size that you're looping in. So, for example, ours is 40 feet, right on the average of looper boats. But we have had the discussion and there's no clear answer yet. But, after this... what's next? It doesn't make sense to us to have this boat sitting in Charleston where dockage is hugely expensive and have a home in Charleston. And one of the options on the table is something smaller and trailerable so that we can tow it back to places we'd like to explore. Yeah. Gift. You can skip that middle step, having had lots of boats before. So, you know, tell us about the advantage for you for trailerable.
So, for one thing, it allowed us to do things in sections. So, for example, I recently completed the Down East Circle Loop, and we had already gone from Maine to the Erie Canal as part of the loop. We trailed over to Lake Champlain and did the Champlain Canal to connect back to Waterford, where the Erie Canal begins, and then up to Burlington. And then 2 years later, we trailed to Burlington and went through the canal system to the St. Lawrence, to Quebec City, where Molly left me. She no longer does large open water crossing. And then a friend of mine joined me, and we continued on around the Gaspé. We even went to Newfoundland and back.
Plus, Bill has a dream of, and I don't know if this is going to happen, but of someday trailing the boat across country and getting into Alaska waters. So yeah, we got a lot of options. Yeah. And maybe maybe Baja waters. Mm-hmm. So,
and we've already trailed to Florida. I mean, once you've done, for us, we've done the ICW twice in one direction and one time in the other direction.
Which is enough.
And that was enough. But to be able to trailer down to Florida or the Georgia Sea Islands, or to go to the Bahamas again, we're planning our fourth trip to the Bahamas this winter. It just gives so much flexibility. And, you know, the key to us, I think, in making a small boat livable is having canvas that you can enclose the cockpit. Mm-hmm. So we had the typical V berth. We had yes, but we could both sleep in it. And we had a cabin with a galley and a sofa. And then our dinette table was in the cockpit.
And we have a shower back there, too.
Yeah. And Molly can take a nap on the couch, and I can take one in the V-berth. If a boat can do that, then you probably are made.
Plus, I don't know if this relates to the question, but we can basically beach our boat. Mm-hmm. So we have a very shallow draft. We can go many places that large boats can't go. Maybe that's another question.
So, you know, and talking about, you know, kind of the advantages of having a smaller trailer or bowl boat. So the Rossboro 246 is an outboard, correct?
Yes. Correct. So we have two outboards, a main motor and a kicker, which mm-hmm. came in handy a couple times. I think having two engines, whatever they might be, is helpful. The other thing, our boat only draws 2.5 feet. Mm-hmm. So when it came to anchoring, we could always go in front of whoever else is there.
Right.
And have to much less dinghying to get to shore. just there are a lot of advantages anchoring in shallower water. So we're very happy with our choice. It wouldn't be for everybody, but we'd you don't have to have a large boat to have a wonderful experience doing the loop.
Yeah. And I'm glad you said that, because you really did have obviously a very similar experience to everybody else. You got to go the same places everybody went, probably had a little bit of an easier time of it in some of the skinny water. And certainly things like dockage are less expensive, but tell us, you know, kind of your cruising preference. Did you choose to anchor a lot, or did you stay in marinas a lot, or some of both?
We've been talking about that this afternoon in preparation mm-hmm. for talking to you. I liked it all, honestly. I think our intention originally was to do more anchoring, but it was almost half in marinas, right?
Yeah.
And I love the marinas too. So the marinas are where you could meet up with people.
Right.
But even with anchoring, we had our dinghy and we could dinghy your shore.
Yes.
But we liked it all. I mean, with anchoring, you go into remote places, maybe that are like mm-hmm. little small hideaways. I like the variety.
We probably tried to do no more than 40 miles or so. with the idea that we wanted to be at a new location by early afternoon, where so maybe we'd have lunch on the boat, or maybe we'd go ashore and have lunch. Often we found that you can get a much better deal in a restaurant eating lunch there as opposed to dinner. And we also found that many places, the restaurants weren't anything to write home about. So lunch was a good thing to do. And then we also loved exploring. And certainly we explored on the water, but also there's a great deal of exploring to do on land, whether it be on foot, bicycle, or car rental. So we can talk more about it. We learned so much about history and just a great appreciation for what our country has to offer.
Yeah. And I do want to talk about, you know, some of that, some of those experiences, but on a book that, what's the length overall feet? Is it a little bit bigger length overall?
So the, it's 25 feet, and then we have a stern extension with the outboards. So all together, it's 28, 29 feet.
Okay. So Molly mentioned the dinghy, and on a boat that size, some might find it hard to figure out where you put a dinghy. So well, tell us how you solved that problem.
Yeah, and that's a very good question. One of the things that Rostro has, at least ours does, is a full roof over the cockpit. So we have
it's flat. Roof.
So we have all kinds of space. So not only did we have our dinghy on the roof with a motor, we had a davit lift. We also had a two-person kayak on the roof. And so being able to kayak or dinghy was flexibility that not everybody has.
Yeah. Any other modifications or any other special features that the Rossboro had that made it, you know, more livable for you for about a year?
Well, I we took the dinette table out of the cabin and put it to the cockpit, which allowed us to put in a sofa, basically. Mm-hmm. And so I think that made the boat much more comfortable. You know, we ended up, we put a TV in, but we were so busy exploring what we did, we didn't really watch a lot of that. We have, you know, an iPad that could show movies. But again, exploring where we went was our number one pick. I'm just trying to think.
Plus we had cocktail hour on the roof.
Yeah, we often. Could. Yeah, or on the
sunset cocktail hour on the roof.
Nice.
And it's interesting. So our boat is named Salty Paws. Mm-hmm. But we when we did the loop, we happened to be dogless then. But we our dog, it's a Portuguese water dog, is lying down right here. Hey, Tori. So she's been to Bahamas and
nice work. Yeah. So let's take a quick break and play a message from a sponsor. When we come back, I do want to kind of dive into some of the places you explored and what some of those highlights were. And, you know, you mentioned seeing the history of the country. So we'll talk about all that when we come back. So we'll be back in just a moment. Let our friend John Heenan at SkyMed explain to you why your health insurance does not pay or only pays for a small portion of emergency medical travel transport. Say you're on the loop in Canada and have Medicare. You must get back to the USA to be covered once you are stabilized. That also is true for the Bahamas. No worries. SkyMed pays for transportation to your home hospital by a private medical jet, helicopter, or other means that can keep you stable until you reach the destination from anywhere in the world. Pets with you? They go home with you. What about your boat? Call John Heenan for more information at 954-520-4553. Our friends at Argo Navigation have created a free boating app that gives AGLCA boaters an easier way to plan their trip, navigate safely, and share information with fellow loopers. Argo has nautical chart coverage throughout North America, auto or manual routing, depths and tracks to avoid shallow water, trip details while en route, and a captain's log to save everything. You can also see other boaters, message them, and share experiences with in-app social features. Coming soon is a premium version with weather, wind, tides, offline charts, and more. Download the Argo Boating app on the App Store or Google Play. We are back on the Great Loop Radio podcast. With me today are Bill and Molly Webster. We are talking about their Great Loop adventure on their Rossboro RF-246. And Bill and Molly, we were just getting ready to jump into, you know, what you experienced, because you mentioned that a lot of the trip for you was really exploring shoreside. So tell us a little bit about that. What types of things did you seek out that maybe were a little bit different than what some loopers were doing?
Well, we always got off the boat every day, noon or 1 o'clock. And if we were in a town, we would always go to the visitor center. Mm-hmm. We went to a lot of little local museums, which was wonderful. And I particularly enjoyed the towns in the Midwest, because we don't have relatives there. We really would have no reason to go there other than the loop. And we just learned so much about the history of the country, which was fascinating. But we did a lot of hiking. We did a lot of hiking in your area. We had a great time in Charleston. I have an old friend who lives in Charleston who spent 2 days showing us all around. He lives in one of the South Abroad houses. I don't know.
So one of the things that I would say to any prospective looper, or once you get out there, be willing to change your plans. When we started the loop, the Finger Lakes was not on our radar at all, because we were going to take the Oswego Canal up to Lake Ontario in the St. Lawrence. But someone said, oh, you got to go to the Finger Lakes. Well, we went to Seneca Falls, which is a fantastic city with a museum and national park about the role of women, which I didn't expect. That was new. We went to Cayuga Lake and down. We did some hiking to a waterfall that is taller than ever, the Everest, taller than Niagara Falls. Mm-hmm. So just experiences like that I didn't expect was
great. I'd say on that, we just listened to the local people. You know, where should we go? Mm-hmm. And that was very helpful. I mean, we looked things up in the books and the guidebooks and all that. But we asked the locals.
Well, yeah, that's a great way to do it.
Yeah.
We were in Waterford and the Erie Canal was shut down for 3 days. So we couldn't go anywhere. We didn't have a car. We didn't really want to rent, but we walked to the town just south of Waterford and saw the original Erie Canal. Off the Mohawk
River. Have you seen that? It's really interesting.
Yes, I took a very long walk when I was in Waterford and kind of saw, well, you know, kind of the falls and the rapids that the canal is there to navigate around, right? But also parts of the original canal,
which are about the size of a truck.
Yeah.
It was very interesting.
When we spent a night at the wall in Oswego, which is just as you enter the lake. And this Fort Oswego that was a mile and a half walk. We like to walk. And we walked there not knowing really what to find. And here is this historic fort that's gone back and forth between the U.S. and British a number of times, the French at one point, I guess. But the thing that surprised us is that it was a holding cell, in effect, for 900 Jews that got allowed to go into the United States during World War II, under the proviso that they would leave at the end of the war. And just little things like that. We love the Thousand Islands. But, I would definitely recommend go to both castles. They're both very different. Mm-hmm. And even though we weren't sure whether we'd like it or not, it was a fascinating story. I'm trying to think. The North Channel in Canada was spectacular, but we did something different than most loopers in that we wanted to go to I'm trying to remember the Canadian National Park, Bruce Peninsula. Mm-hmm. And so we took the southern shore of Georgian Bay as opposed to the northern shore, and maybe with our trailable boat we'll go back and do the northern shore.
Yeah, it becomes an option for sure. So you mentioned the Erie Canal being closed for a few days, and you in your pre-interview, you kind of listed that as one of the challenges. So tell us a little bit about that, because right now we've got some lock closures going on the Illinois waterway. So people hear about waterway closures and always get a little curious, and some get a little anxious about that. So tell us what happened the year you were coming through the Erie Canal.
Well, the I'll soon jump to the Illinois Canal, but on the Erie Canal, we had that closure for 3 days, found other things to do locally, and it was not an impediment at all to our trip and really didn't interrupt anything. The Illinois, though, was a different story. You may remember, not unlike this year or last year, the Illinois was closed for some substantial repairs. This would have been the fall of 2019.
Yes.
And so we ended up staying a little extra in Chicago, but when it became clear when the window would be, we took off, and we were in the first group of 27 boats that went through the lock together. Mm-hmm. And you know, you've got to be patient on the locks. They may tell you it's going to be 3 hours and it ends up being six. Or an over, or it ends up, they say 3 hours and it ends up, you know what, we'll take you now. You just got to be flexible, because the canal system, particularly the Illinois River, first priority is to commercial boats.
That's right.
And so it's a privilege to be able to go through. And
I also, when you're stuck somewhere, you're not the only one stuck there. There are other boats, and we always found that all the boats that were stuck were in communication. Mm-hmm. So it just made it feel safe and easier.
Yeah.
So we were on Joliet Wall with 27 boats or something. Yeah.
We were double and triple tied up. So that really worked out well. And I don't know, it may be the reverse now, but when we did the Illinois River 2 months prior, things have been closed because it was 40 feet above flood stage.
Yes.
So in going down the Illinois River, it was still high, but passable. We could go right over the wing dams, for example, no problem. We still saw the
wing dams. The anticipation of the wing dams terrified me.
Really?
It turned out not to be a big deal, but there was just a lot of talk about, you know, the stuff that you can run into, and it just wasn't a big deal because it's pretty obvious where they are.
Yeah.
I don't know if you have that same experience. But.
Well, when we went through last year, the water was really low and you could actually see most of the wing dams.
Yeah.
But, you know, in general, when the water's higher and you can't see them, you do know where they are. And, you know, you really shouldn't be that far outside the channel anyway.
Right.
But it's another low water year. So, those, you know, that's presenting some other challenges.
Yeah. Was different.
I mean, just to go down the Illinois River and see these houses that were 25, 30 feet up on stilts,
mm-hmm.
you know, they have to live with this every year. And this was a new experience for us. We went to Alton, which is right where the Illinois it's on the Mississippi, just after where the Illinois comes in. And that's where we rented a car. And you know, one, we wanted to go to St. Louis. We loved the Arch. We saw a baseball game. We went through the Budweiser Brewery, which is fantastic. But also, we're going along. We see a sign for the, I think it's Cahokia Indian Mounds. Well, what's that? And here was an indigenous people that made a landmark that was every bit as big as anything else. It happened to be earthen. And, you know, I've read about the so-called prehistory and there's no, you know, there's nothing that carries over, but here was this big monument to what they had done and left. Other little things, you know, in Alton, there was information about the world's tallest man at the time and going to his statue and taking a picture of ourselves near it. Or there was a minister of Maine, from Maine by the name of Lovejoy. We're from Maine. And who had moved to Alton, set up a printing press in against slavery, and was ultimately killed. You know, pre-Civil War. Just little stories like that were fascinating. We loved. The going down the Mississippi was high. But we did it with other boats, and we got through fine. And then we got to the Tennessee River. Paducah was wonderful. The
Did you go to the Colt Museum?
Did, yep.
One of the best museums I've ever been
to. So if you had told me, you know, you're going to go to the Quilt Museum, no, I'm not going to the Quilt Museum. It was fantastic. So all those non-quilters out there, go to the Quilt Museum. We were fascinated by the land between the lakes, between you know, the Illinois and Cumberland Rivers, which a lot had been flooded when those dams were opened up, including Fort, I think it's Henry, which was the site of the first Union incursion into Confederate lands. And there were four Confederate soldiers that died. So we were intrigued, and we spent a day walking around trails in the land between the lakes, and we actually found the cemetery with these four gravestones.
Wow.
And it, you know, and it was labeled, what, War
w-
Between...
No, it was WBTS.
War Between the States.
Well, we had to figure out...
Wow.
What WTBS? BTS. Anyway.
Yeah, no, that's fascinating. I have not heard that from loopers before. We had the opportunity to drive a little bit around. I don't remember why we had a rental car, but in the land between the lakes, and go to the where you can see the buffalo. There's kind of a drive-through area where there's lots of wildlife that you can see. So that was pretty neat. But so what advice would you have for somebody who's considering doing the loop?
Don't overpack.
Oh, yeah. Halfway through the loop, we sent all these boxes home with clothing.
Mm-hmm.
If you, what you wear today, you can wear tomorrow, because you're not going to see the same people.
And even if you do, nobody cares.
Exactly.
They're wearing the same thing, too.
Yeah.
Now, we did have temperatures go from 25 to 100 degrees over the course of our loop. So
that's a pretty big range. So where did you hit the 25 degrees?
Alabama.
Can you believe it? Alabama.
Alabama was the coldest part of our loop.
Yep. And what time of year was it?
It was in November.
Okay.
December.
No.
We went
down to Orange Beach.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm sitting here in Alabama here in October, so I better get moving soon, because I'm not up for 25.
I think the certainly you want a seaworthy boat. But within that, after that criteria, there's so many boats out there that are more than adequate. I mean, I'm not planning on or wouldn't advocate doing it on a jet ski. I know there are people that have done that type of thing. But a boat, and, you know, again, for us, don't dismiss a smaller boat.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need a washer and dryer to enjoy the route. We did have air conditioning and heat. So,
but all the marinas have washers and dryers.
Exactly. Exactly.
Also, I mean, I don't know who's going to go to the Bahamas. It's really not part of the loop, but it's kind of
a good side trip. Yeah.
We thought, we had read that finding groceries is impossible in the Bahamas, but that is just not true. It's a little, you know, you have to plan, because the ship comes in certain days and brings their supplies, but there was plenty of good food to buy in the Bahamas. So,
yeah.
And Kim, I should also share, because I don't think many loopers have done this, we actually crossed our wake in Bimini.
Oh, wow. That is pretty unique. Yep, I don't hear that a lot.
We had a cart that we used to haul our groceries.
Right.
And our fuel at times, because the fuel at the gas station was much cheaper than the marinas.
Or water sometimes. Mm-hmm. Again, we went to some remote places.
Right.
I think, you know, the crossing is obviously the thing that can be of concern to most people.
Mm-hmm.
And not being on a schedule. And unfortunately, we were on a schedule.
We are the last, we're like 10,000.
Yeah. But not being on a schedule gives you the flexibility to cross when you'll be comfortable.
Exactly. Yep. So we are running out of time. I do want to point out for anyone who is listening, AGLCA members have access to the two different webinars that Bill and Molly have participated in with us. So if you are intrigued, they did do one about looping on a smaller boat, and they've also done one for us on Off the Beaten Path about some of the things that they went and explored that a lot of loopers don't actually take the time or, you know, have the know-how to figure out. Well, that there's something really nice that I'd like to see nearby. So those are two webinars. We recently released a lot of our webinars to our membership. So they're on our website for AGLCA members free of charge. So definitely check them out. And Molly and Bill, thanks for joining me and sharing the details of your loop. I think you've inspired some to not discount those smaller boats that are easy to get to other places when you finish.
And just two quick things.
Yeah, absolutely.
Love Nebo. Which yes. provides, mm-hmm. but with your membership is a great way to find other loopers. And we've used that a lot. And the other thing is, you know, we finished the loop and we're so pleased that we had the opportunity for one flat rate to become in effect lifetime members. And it's just wonderful to continue to associate with loopers and provide whatever knowledge that can be helpful.
We were watching Nebo when we were up in Canada. Yeah. Just to keep up with those loopers.
So. It's a lot of fun. So yeah, we'll have to do a web or a podcast on Nebo soon because it's been a while. So I'm sure you've just also piqued some interest in from listeners who maybe are not too familiar with Nebo. So we'll try and schedule that pretty soon. So, you know, again, thank you. We don't know what our next plan is after we finish the loop, but Maine is on our list and the Down East Loop. So we may be cruising your area. So hopefully our paths will cross on the water at some point.
Very good. Great talking to you.
All right. You as well. Thanks for joining us. And thanks to everyone who's watched or listened today. We'll be back next week with another episode of the Great Loop Radio podcast. Until then, safe cruising.